We were in the midst of a 16-day government shutdown. People were worried sick. And this came after the furloughs, which were earlier in the year. But people were worried about paying their bills. 16 days, that's a lot of money. You know, one day a week, a furlough was a 20% pay cut. A shutdown is a 100% pay cut. And people were borrowing from FEA, the Federal Employee Education Assistance Fund, to the point where FEA literally ran out of money. GEICO gave them huge grants. Blue Cross Blue Shield, Long-Term Care Partners, and others gave them grants to help finance it, and they still ran out of money. So it was a bad time for a lot of federal workers, and even more stupid because, as it turned out, once the shutdown was over, Congress came back and said, you know what, we're going to pay them anyhow. So it would seem to me it left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. The government workers were angry for being put through that exercise, not knowing that they were on a 16-day vacation, but instead thinking they were 16 days without pay. And then taxpayers find out that vital services are shut down, the national parks are shut down for no reason, and then when they reopen the government, they pay the people for not working. So it's about as dumb as you can get from anything coming out of Washington, and that's saying a lot.
And I think the most interesting part about your column today is you rehashed a metaphor from last year, whereas what would happen if the Columbus voyage to America, if there was a government shutdown during that time? It's a reminder as to what people were feeling and how they were thinking at that point in time. I was talking with Colleen Kelly of the National Treasury Employees Right. Union and J. David Cox of AFGE. And I was asking them, has public perception of the federal employee changed since the shutdown? And they both said yes. They feel like the public is more on board with the idea of a good federal employee, quote unquote. But Colleen mentioned her biggest fear is that people forget, which is why I think this is interesting to bring up these old feelings again in your column.
Yeah, I could see somebody arguing it the other way, that people, the average American, for good reason, is not sophisticated enough in the way the government works to understand that it was forced on them by Congress and the White House. The White House gave a sequestration that came right out of the White House, but they're maybe not sophisticated enough to realize that. They just know that they drove up to Yellowstone National Park and they couldn't get in, or they went to the Washington Monument and it was closed, something like that. So I think you could easily argue that it maybe hurt the public perception of federal workers too, you know, and or if you do know about it and you say, hey, they got 16 days off with pay, they get more vacation than I do.
And also part of that equation is the difference between exempt and non-exempt.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a little hurtful to some people. It used to be essential and non-essential. And then when political correctness reared its ugly head, they said, okay, we can't tell people they're not essential, so we divide them into emergency and non-emergency. But it's the same group of people. The number of people that are considered emergency has grown dramatically since 9/11, because now on holidays like this, where you normally might have a skeleton crew, that's prime time now for some kind of action to take place, you know, something to happen in a shopping mall or an airport. So you have more protective people on duty now probably than we had before 9/11.
Mm-hmm. My favorite part about the metaphor with the Columbus Day and what would happen if Spain's government shut down is the idea that the Nina is the House, the Pinta is the Senate, and the Santa Maria is the White House. And the Santa Maria decides it wants to see if there's the end of the world regardless, aka the debt ceiling. So it's going to go there just to prove its point. If it falls off, that's fine.
Yeah, we've made our point.
Meanwhile, the Nina is going to just go ahead and sail around in circles.
Yeah.
While the Pinta is going to go pick just a random spot out east and then maybe decide to start spinning in circles there, or maybe just circle back with nothing.
Yeah, just treading water. Yeah, it is a good metaphor. Plus, you've got the fact that Columbus is a direct hire of Queen Isabella, and he's an Italian with a largely Spanish crew.
Exactly.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why, if it's a Columbus Day holiday, what are we doing here? I guess we're in the business.
Exactly. Well, did you hear in Seattle they're ditching the idea of Columbus Day for Indigenous Peoples Day?
I got a fascinating email from an IRS guy that I'm going to use, and he makes that very point, that this is not a day to celebrate for certain people. You know, if Columbus hadn't arrived, but I suspect that somebody else would have, quote, found America, even though there were several million people here to begin with.
Right. A very famous person I saw on TV said that changes the concept of Columbus Day. You know, the normal Columbus Day is the kids wake up early, they run down in their pajamas, and they go, yay, no school. How come daddy and mommy have to go to work?
Exactly. Yes.
So the last shutdown before last year's was in the 90s.
95, 96, I think. Yeah.
So are we in a pattern of every 20 years or so we might see another shutdown?
I think so, yeah. I've talked to a couple of members of Congress about it, including one who's been here 30 years and he's retiring. And he said these things are almost cyclical. You know, World War I ended in 1918 and World War II started in 1939. And it's almost like you have to let a generation go by and let people forget the horrors of these things, if you can call a government shutdown a horror. But what happened in that case was, it was a Democratic president, Bill Clinton, a Republican-controlled House, Newt Gingrich was the Speaker of the House, and both sides maneuvered it. You know, nobody's blameless in these things, but both sides maneuvered it to the point where they thought the other would blink, and they didn't. So they had a shutdown, and that was fairly extensive, and when it ended, the Republicans, right or wrong, lost the public relations battle. Most of the media turned against them. Newt Gingrich was the fall guy. Newt Gingrich was soon out of Congress. And as these two members of Congress I spoke with about it, they both were here and remember it. But they said most of their colleagues don't. You know, more than half of the people are new, have come in since the last shutdown or the previous shutdown. And so for them, they didn't know the consequences of it. They didn't know the history. And of course, the staff people, there's a lot of turnover there, and a lot of young people on Capitol Hill. So none of them had this institutional memory that shutdowns may not work out the way you think they will.
And that's interesting, because if my memory serves me correctly, Karl Rove even had an op-ed where he explained, do not do a shutdown because this is only going to hurt.
He was there. He remembers it very well. Yeah, yeah. And again, the people tend to blame, the public tends to blame the Congress in a situation like this. But I think it's really important for fairness. Bob Woodward of the Washington Post, very good reporter. Nobody questions his credentials. And he wrote an excellent piece in the Post. I think it was on the front page. But he said the sequestration, the idea for it, the design of it, and the concept came out of the White House. The now Secretary of the Treasury was a guy that implemented it, and they took it down to the Hill and took it to Harry Reid, and Harry Reid approved it. So you have what's typical in politics, both Republicans and Democrats. They do something, and then they denounce that very thing. And that's but people forget.
Right, and then stuck in the middle, unfortunately, is the federal employee that's just trying to pay the bills.
And the public. You know, the people, you know, if you come to Washington, you bring a school tour here, and you're going to see all these various things, the Smithsonian, the monuments, the things that are free. It's wonderful. They paid for them, it's free. They get here and they're closed. So that's tough.